My name is Kevin Crawford, and I lived in the Mamzantoti on the south coast. I now live in Spain, northern Spain. I'm cruise director on board, and I've been with MSC for now, this is the 11th year, so quite a while.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Kulani Khumalo. I am the event coordinator. I've been with MSC for 7 years, and I've been here as well quite a while.
So, Kevin, tell us about a day in the life of a cruise director. Like, what do you do? What is your morning like?
So, the mornings normally are quite early. I'm more of an early person than a later person. So, I'd regularly be in the office between 7:15 and 7:30-ish around there, just so that I have a bit of quiet time. I do share my office with a couple of other positions, like the program publisher, who runs the entire program that gets delivered to the guests during the day, as well as the cruise program administrator, who is basically my right hand. She helps me with a lot of the administrative work. And then I also have some of the other heads of departments, like the production manager, the cruise staff manager. They also share the office with me, so it is quite a busy office. So in order for me to get all of my administration work done, I like to get there as early as possible before they head to the office. Otherwise, it gets a little bit crazy and chaotic, and there's laughing and talking. So generally, I get to the office nice and early. Go through all my emails, just go through my book, see the things that I have planned for the day. Normally, when there are groups on board, Kalani is very involved with all of that, and he's always in the office discussing, chatting what we're going to do. And we then have a meeting with the hotel director on navigation days, which is always around 9:30 in the morning, where we will discuss the previous cruise, upcoming cruises, the current cruise. After that, I will do a little bit of a walk around the vessel, just making sure that all of the stage areas, all the entertainment venues, the lounges are all set correctly, stages are clean, the ambience around the ship is set correctly, daytime lights are on, not evening lights are on, that sort of thing. Just making sure that guests are happy, walking around, chatting, good morning, how's things going? And then back to the office, check emails again, and that normally takes until about 12:30 lunchtime. That's the basic morning that I have. Some are crazy, some are very quiet. It all just depends on the cruise.
And Kalani, what do you do in the greater scheme of things in terms of your day when you're planning an event?
Correct. So basically, my day also starts quite early, depending, of course, of the group requirements. I work closely with Kevin, as he mentioned earlier. So from time to time, I'll be spending much more time with him, just finalizing or allocating the venues as per group request. Should it be a wedding? Should it be a private meeting? This is where he comes in. So in the morning, I'll check my emails to see what requests do we have. Usually, I'll get my request prior to time, so then we can allocate and confirm with those particular requests. Maybe a group, maybe a wedding, maybe a bigger function. And then I send it off and make sure that, you know, the group also understands what we can provide for them ahead of time. So pretty much it's more of emails than anything else. Of course, if there's a group in that particular cruise that I'm on, I need to check the venues as per schedule to ensure that their requirements are met. Set up, preparation of the venue, ensuring the bar is opened, microphone, where his team comes.
So the theme cruises must be quite hectic, because you've got events going on all around that are around that theme.
Absolutely,
I'm assuming.
Absolutely. So then I need to be very, you know, involved in every activity that is scheduled accordingly, ensuring that each and every event, or particularly on that group, is accommodated accordingly.
Sorry, can I just add on to that?
Sure.
You mentioned that it could be like a wedding or any other thing. What other sort of events happen, like group-wise?
So we do have meetings where companies will come and conduct a meeting on board. We do have weddings, as I mentioned. We do have big theme cruises, which are yearly. I mean, since I've been here for 7 years, I've had companies where they're coming yearly or seasonal, I would say. Such as Opivorta. It is a group that I've worked with before, and many more other groups that come back year to year.
Yeah, there's quite a few. There's also church groups, things like that. There's a lot of smaller groups, big groups, charters that take out the entire ship, some that take out 50% of the ship, and that's where Kulani and I will work very, very close together, because if we have full chartered groups that take the entire ship, it's very easy to go through their recap and what they want, and basically because they've chartered the entire ship, we can give them exactly what they've wanted. Where we spend a lot of our time discussing is when we have groups that are take up more or less 50% of the ship, and then we have 50% regular cruises, and then we need to try and find that balance between offering the group as much as possible without affecting the regular cruisers' experience. And that can sometimes be a challenge. According to a lot of things, the class of vessel that we have, the season that we're doing, things like that. So Kulani has an extremely difficult job sometimes, because he will be the one dealing directly with the group leaders, with their requests, and sometimes there are last second changes. Absolutely. They will request this venue and then they decide we'd like to change venue. So there's a lot of last second planning, but we've got it down to a T at the moment, and it works pretty well. So.
And what's life like at sea compared to working inland?
Kulani, take this one.
Look, it is completely different, as you would understand. On land, you sort of have your base where you go back home and so on and so forth. On board, we do have our cabins, which are located on deck number 4, comfortably as well. Which is one of the questions that we normally get from regular guests, where are we staying on board?
But no, you're staying on the last page.
No,
you're
giving up to last page. I mean, it comes with a lot of challenges and differences, so I would say. So the comfortable side of it is where, obviously, what the company's provided. You know, I would say
it's different. It's extremely different. Yeah. I mean, we have comfortable living conditions, which is not a problem. There's no traffic to get to work, so I mean, it's very easy. But because you're living on a ship for months at a time, you do sometimes lose contact with what's happening shoreside. So you're kind of in your bubble, you're in your zone on this ship for however many months your contract is, and. There's good moments and there's bad moments. You might have personal issues happening at home, but you're on board and you just have to work through these things. And I suppose that's hospitality in general. The show must go on. So you'll take your time when you need your time, go to your quiet space in your cabin, recharge yourself, get yourself ready to go into guest areas, and then you're always wearing your name badge, which means you're always an ambassador for MSC, and you have to be passionate about your job in order to honestly put on a good face in the mornings when you wake up for work, no matter what's happening at home, no matter what's happening in your country. And it's a challenge. Not many people can do it, and I think they find out very quickly when you embark whether ship life is for you or if it's not for you. And I think if you're on board for 7 years, 11 years, there's definitely a passion for the work and for the company.
So. But I think cruising in South Africa is very different to cruising in Europe and other places, because there you get off every day. Whereas here, around our shores, there isn't a get-off every day. It's more days at sea than there is days where you can disembark.
South Africa is definitely a very challenging season, because although it is it's fast-paced, so there's 3-day cruises, 4-day cruises, so it's non-stop. We have parties every single night, which means guys are working every single night at these events, and the best thing about South African season is the guests. The guests are super responsive. They're amazing. They really, really enjoy the entertainment. So that kind of gives the crew that little bit more energy to keep going and knowing, like, tomorrow we're going to do another party, but look at the response we got last night. It's going to be great. And it keeps that excitement going for quite a long time. You know, you can stay on board happily in South African season. The differences between South Africa and, for example, in the Caribbean, we have tender services at our ports. And it's not like a tender service where you'll use the lifeboat in Norway and you just go across to a pier, drop the guests off, and come back. We have PTBs dropping people off on islands. So it really is like an adventure experience. And this comes with challenges. Sometimes the sea can be a little bit rough. Sometimes the tide can be wrong. And because you're not in a harbor, you're in the open ocean, it's difficult, but you deal with these challenges every single day, and we make it work, and we go through season by season by season, making it happen, and guests are happy, they enjoy it. It's a wild, wild experience. But
what do you do with difficult guests? You know, really troublesome guests. What do you? How do you handle them? What
throw
do you,
them overboard.
Throw them overboard.
So we have a lot of trainings on hospitality on board, and one of the trainings that we went through is a training called EAT: empathize, apologize, and thank. So you'll first of all listen to the guest and understand exactly what their frustration is. If it's something that was our fault, if it was something that they just had a bad experience. So first of all, just listen to them, understand exactly what they're complaining about, because all too often you jump to conclusions and you try to resolve an issue that's actually not their issue and it doesn't get resolved. So you really need to listen to the guest, then obviously apologize, thank them for giving you the information, and then you have to deal with it as quickly as possible. And regularly, the best thing is just to follow up with the guest. So once you've resolved the issue, follow up with a phone call within an hour, 2 hours.
Do you send them a South African to talk to them?
No, not necessarily. We
because the language problem is an issue, and it's a problem worldwide. It's not related to one ship,
yeah.
One cruise company. It's because there are people who can speak English but don't understand English.
Yeah.
So when you're trying to explain something to them, they don't understand what it is you're asking. They give you a standard answer depending on whether it's point one, two, or three, and they have to remember the sheet that they follow, and they still answer you, and it's not the answer you're looking for. And it's a very frustrating time. So I've cruised pretty much in different cruises, and it's a common problem. It's not something that's just only your problem. It's just... I mean, difficult.
It is difficult. Of course it's difficult. We have a lot of different nationalities on board, and South Africa alone has quite a few official languages.
Correct.
But generally, we never have issues with this. We will speak English to a guest, and 99.9% of the time, it's more the tone in the body language than the actual language that you're speaking. And this resonates more with the guest and will 99% of the time resolve the issue that they're having. With regards to cruising in other seasons, we have international hosts and hostesses on board that are catered to different language groups on board. So we would have a Russian international hostess to cater for all of the Russian-speaking guests, for example. But in South Africa, we don't have international hosts and hostesses, because generally all guests do understand English in some form, or Afrikaans. We do have some Afrikaans-speaking crew members in case there's Afrikaans guests that don't speak English. But generally, 99% of the time, a friendly smile, listening to them, and body language resolves an issue easy. You don't even need to speak. Just listen and provide that support, and issues get dealt with. A lot of the times, issues come from miscommunications or not understanding something, and then just by explaining to them, showing them quietly, calmly, issues are resolved.
Mm. And if they're drunk and troublesome in that sense, you know, they like you can't have them among the other guests. What you could do with those guys? Throw them overboard.
Yeah. Jail. Yeah. Boat jail.
No, there's no. Generally, when there's serious complications with guests that are maybe unruly, or a lot of the time there's alcohol involved with late night guests partying in the disco and things like that, we do have a very supportive security team on board that comes and deals with guests like that calmly.
Supportive firm.
Wraps him up in a carpet, carries him out the room.
I think we all understand South African guests do enjoy a bit of a party every now and again, and we're lucky enough to have a security team that is experienced with the South African season and internationally, and they handle issues swiftly, professionally, and sometimes firmly. Never violently, but we have a system in place for...
And emergencies?
I was going to ask about that.
Emergencies in what
medical way? For instance?
Medical emergencies. Yeah. So medical emergencies happen a lot. We have, on some ships, 6,000 guests that are on board for a week. There's always going to be medical emergencies. We have medical teams on standby 24 hours a day. We have internal codes to inform medical teams when there's a medical emergency, and they will rush there, assess the situation, assess the severity of the situation, and then proceed with the necessary treatment.
Do you ever have to airlift people out for medical, and you just get a helicopter?
Of course. Sometimes when you're in the middle of the ocean, sometimes during repositioning cruises from Europe to South Africa, and you are 6-7 days at sea, and there's a medical emergency, and you're 3 days into that sixth day at sea, there's no other way to do it. And guests are always primary concern. Yeah. And if it means you have to call in a helicopter, we'll call in a helicopter, and the airlift gets out to safety. Or if necessary, if possible, we'll go to the nearest port of call and drop them off. And that, if that means we have to turn around and backtrack 2-3 hours, the captain will do that immediately without hesitation. So the guest safety will always take 100% priority over the itinerary, over the course that we're doing.
What are the 5 top tips you would give somebody booking on a cruise?
Kalani?
I would say really just to get ready for fun. As Kevin mentioned, it is a destination
where
it covers.
Bring your passports.
I think it starts there.
Is that a problem?
I mean, obviously, when you don't have your passports, depending on the itinerary, it wouldn't even take you anywhere. You wouldn't even get to a point where you're embarking the ship. But of course, necessary documents prior embarkation. That's where it starts. And just to get ready, really, for all the program that we cover for guests. A whole lot of fun, a whole lot of different themes that we cater on board. When I say themes, we do have tropical nights, gala nights, and so on and so forth. So in that case, you know, you really need to be prepared for fun.
So when you book, should you look at things like we were talking yesterday about booking a standard package but looking at upgrading? Because there's so many nice things that we've enjoyed that we didn't know you could do on a cruise. And I know that sounds silly, but we've always been a normal cruise member and never really saw what else there was until we did this trip. And sort of looking at the upgrades, because the upgrades can sometimes really be worth it. Sure. Like going from an inside cabin to a balcony, utilizing some of the specialty restaurant packages, because we noticed in those restaurants they had sort of like a set menu package. Right. Things like that really make a special, if it's your anniversary or your birthday,
indeed,
it can make a really nice difference if you know about it.
No, absolutely.
So, you know, where do they look? What should they do? You know, that kind of stuff.
So obviously our websites would have those options to either book it prior coming on board. Otherwise, we also give you an opportunity whilst you're on board to upgrade, to purchase the specialty restaurants, may it be, or upgrade the drink packages and so on and so forth. So, but in a nutshell, I would say there are opportunities for you to partake in those offerings or amenities whilst you're on board as well.
And also, it's not a good thing to bring your own food on board. We noticed there was a guest in front of us when we were checking in.
Yeah.
She was having a huge fight with the security guy because he took all her food out of her bag and said, "You can't take this on board." And she was like, "Why? Are you hungry? Are you starving? Do you want my food?" And he was like, "No, you just can't do this." So it ended up being a huge argument. But I thought it was quite funny. So, do you find that's quite a common thing, that people want to bring their own booze and their own food on board?
No, not at all. Food's not at all. We have food from when you embark.
People trying to bring their own food because they think that it's like getting on a plane to Australia. They assume that Australia doesn't have food.
Yeah, in South Africa we might have a few guests. if my mom made a good curry, and I was like, "I'm not sure, it's my first cruise, I'm not too sure, I'm going to take some." But no, we have, there's more than enough food on board for everybody. There's no need to bring food. Alcohol, guests will always try and slip a bottle of something into their luggage to try and bring it on board, which gets screened by security in the terminal and on board, and then we will keep that for them until the end of the cruise, and then when they disembark, we give it back to them. But I would think for a first time cruiser, not to go down the rabbit hole of what do I have, specialty restaurants. There's this. Go on the website. Go on YouTube. Take a look at some of the videos. There's a lot of positive things. But if it's your first time cruise, just get on the ship. Just get on the ship and everything that, that you can purchase as prepaid packages, you can still do on board as well. So you don't want to do everything and then realize, oh, actually, no, I'm enjoying this more. Yeah. I didn't really need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's your first cruise, just get on board, experience it. You have all the entertainment that's completely free. You have all of your dinners completely sorted out in our restaurants, the main dining experiences, or up in the buffet. And then you can see we have the specialty restaurants. Is that something that I'd like? Let me look at the menu. And maybe pre-booking, you just saw, okay, there's a specialty restaurant here. Should I book that? And you're actually perfectly fine having our free dining experiences in the restaurants. So for a first-time cruiser, I would just say, take the jump, book the cruise, get on board, enjoy yourself, and then you'd have a more educated decision for your next cruise. And then if you'd like to upgrade your experience, you can do that while you're on board. So as Kalani said, all of those options, all of those extras are available while you're on board. But I think if you look too much into it before your cruise,
you
can sometimes get a little bit overwhelmed with all the options and what to do with ship drinks packages, this, that.
There's actually a wonderful website called Cruise Critic. It actually doesn't criticize cruises. It helps the passenger to make decisions.
Yes.
So it just tells you what to expect when you get on board, the speciality restaurant difference between a buffet and a... So we actually went through that before we caught our first cruise. And it was really... It was awesome because we were able to make choices that when we got on board, we didn't have to run around and worry about it. You know, we did our speciality restaurant on board because then we could go and look at the restaurants we wanted to be a part of, but we knew about them.
Amazing.
So it was just, they just inform you of what you can do on a cruise and what to expect. And it's a really awesome way to find out about your cruise.
Yeah, I do. I see Cruise Critic as a tool. I really do for people that are looking to see what cruising is all about. Have a look at it. And obviously these are personal experiences from different people coming from different backgrounds, different issues. So you kind of have to look at Cruise Critics as a whole.
As a whole,
And take the positive out of it and then make your decision based on...
It was really awesome.
How do you keep all the cultures happy? I mean, there's so many different people with different expectations and needs and, you know, ways.
It is a challenge sometimes. It is a challenge. But we do not adjust our entertainment or the program that we offer at all. One of the biggest issues that we do face is the music, for example, in the disco. All different cultures on board listen to different types of music. So what we do is we end up putting themed music sets in one venue. When there's a party happening in this venue, we'll have the opposite theme of music playing in another venue. So that guests have a choice of what they want. If they don't want to go to this event, they can go to that event. Mm-hmm. And if that's not the music that they want to listen to, we can go to this event. So we cater to all different cultures in South Africa. But it is a challenge. It is a bit of a challenge sometimes.
For first-time cruisers, what's something that they leave at home that you're not able to buy on board? Like, do not leave this at home.
Passport.
Yeah, you can't buy that on board. You can buy it at the harbour.
Must bring.
Yeah,
must bring,
like if you don't bring this, you can't buy it.
Sure.
Sunscreen.
Yeah,
sunscreen.
Yeah.
I mean, we have sunscreen on board.
And like sun hats and all of that.
We have
toothbrushes, toothpaste, everything.
Yeah.
Charging cables,
adapters.
We have
all of that.
So,
as well.
Besides your own medication, you'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, if you have your own, bring them.
Yes.
If you don't want to spend the money on board to buy it, but if you forget something,
available.
Yeah, we have so many different shops on board that supply everything from all of your beach equipment to seasick tablets to headache tablets, things like that. We have the medical center on board if you need specific medication for certain things. So. Trying to think one
maybe
thing.
A specific the plugs that go into, because you know
adapters, we do have all the adapters.
And also they also what reception does from canvas to canvas. Of course in South Africa we're using a 2-prong converting into South African 3-prong. So we always try to accommodate based on that on that season.
And do you also recommend that parents limit their children's cards?
We do.
Because we discovered that overseas with this big fights at reception.
Oh,
what
really?
Do you mean? I didn't sign for that.
Absolutely.
No, but your kid did.
I have an advantage of coming from guest services. That's my background. So I truly agree, and I've witnessed quite a few upsets parents where the bill was over $1,000 or even more.
Yeah.
Because one, either they didn't know that they could do that limitation to the child, or just maybe the kid was blatantly naughty, you know. Mm-hmm. So we highly recommend, and of course on our options we do say parents, put a limit or block your kid's cruise card, so then you can control on their expenditure. So what we have, we call spending limits, which can be done directly with guest services. You'd say, hey, I need my child to have $20 spending throughout the cruise, and once they reach $20, they can't go beyond that, which is quite helpful for the parents. And
my husband can't do that to my card. He needs my permission to do that, right?
That has to be disgusting.
Can you spend your limit on your own card if you don't trust yourself?
Look, you can. You can. There is an option for you to do that.
Yeah.
With that said, we've had where you'd say, oh, my husband is drinking quite excessively and I want to put a limit. It makes it a bit difficult for us, you know, to limit an adult. And then essentially, if the guest says, I've booked and paid a cruise. Yeah. How do we then come in that? But we try to communicate it in a way where...
Send them a therapist.
I'm thinking for myself. If I know that I don't want to... It's difficult to keep track of how much you're spending while you're at a hotel or on a cruise or wherever on holiday. So knowing that this is my limit, I'm not going to go too crazy.
Sure.
But it says on the app how much you've spent, so you can easily track yourself.
Absolutely. So we do have a kiosk around Vessel and great tool, mentioned, the MSC app, that gives you an opportunity to monitor your
experience the ocean.
100%. I spend quite a lot of my time on the open decks just looking.
And what do you see?
It's different every time. I know the coastline from Durban to Mozambique so well. So I always look out for key little monuments, like landmarks, and I love the ocean. It's just one of the reasons why I wanted to come to see.
Mm-hmm. So. Did you have other jobs? Sorry.
Sorry. Leaders.
Kulani?
Yeah. So obviously I was land-based before this, and I did work, as I said in the beginning, I worked in hospitality industry most of my life. I mean, that's where my career started. So I work for Walt Disney World as the cultural representative, and I also work for a luxury brand, hotel group, Fairmont Hotel, and then MSC came.
Wow.
So I'm quite fortunate to be in the industry and also understanding. Of course, it's different, you know, land based and on board, but essentially, we are all achieving the same goal, which is guest-orientated.
Hospitality.
Indeed.
I had zero hospitality before I came on board. I studied civil engineering for...
I didn't know this.
And then I changed from civil engineering to audio engineering and post-production. And that was for 5 years of my life studying. So then I thought, okay, now I want to travel a little bit. So I thought, okay, how can I use my studies and travel? And it kind of went into being a technician on a cruise ship in the theater. So I embarked as a crew staff, which is the entertainment staff, doing all the fun and games and the trivias, hoping to transition into the theater. And I ended up enjoying my job as entertainment. And then I stayed in entertainment. And you start off hosting trivias and things like that, and then you slowly build your way up. MSC has been very, very good with recognizing and promoting at certain levels. So it's been a very comfortable company to work for. But no hospitality background before.
What's the strangest or funniest situation with guests you had to deal with?
Maybe asking where the reception is at the reception. Happens quite a lot. Yeah.
And I mean, often we've realized that people don't read. You know, sometimes they'll ask things that are obvious to us. Of course, they're on vacation, but we get quite a strange questions, which are at guest disposal, and yeah, it's quite strange.
And what entertainment area do people gravitate more towards? What's the one thing everybody wants to do when they're on a cruise?
There's two elements to that. There's the open deck pool area where we have all of our daytime entertainment activities. There's game shows, there's trivias, there's visual trivias, there's dance lessons. So there's people that love the outdoor pool area. They're going to be in their bikinis, dancing at the dance lessons, things like that. And then we also have the main evening entertainment, which is the theatre shows, which is also one of the highlights of the evening, is definitely the main theatre shows, because we have an incredible international cast, singers, dancers, acrobats, artists, magicians, and you won't see these shows shoreside in South Africa very often. So it is definitely a must when coming on a cruise ship, go and watch the shows in the evening. And then we have the late tonight game show in one of the main lounges, where the crew staff team would be there and they either put on a game show or a fun quiz or an interactive event, getting teams with guests. So there's a lot. There's some would say too much to choose from, but I think a very important thing for a first-time cruiser would be to read your daily programs. Just read the daily programs. And the embarkation flyer as well has so much information that you actually do not need to ask a single question at guest services if you just read through that daily program every single day. There's so much valuable information in it.
Yeah.
From nautical...
We read the whole thing and we still had to find somebody to help us put the internet on.
That's the internet.
Sunrise stretch this morning in the gym and there was no one to lead us. What did we do wrong?
You didn't read properly. Stretch yourself.
I don't know. What didn't I read?
Was it in the spa or was it on the pool deck?
It's a gym.
At the gym, at the
in
spa.
In the gym.
Yeah.
So
the program's in gym.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have just gone to the front desk outside the gym and said, I'm here for the sunrise stretching. Let me know where I should go, because there are different sections in the gym where you would do
there were quite a few people asking for it.
If nobody comes up to the event, then the best thing to do would just be to find one of the employees at the desk outside and just ask them. Maybe there was a change in time or a change in venue, which sometimes can happen.
Okay, so there's usually someone to lead it. To give
them. We just ended up eating ourselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
So expenditure. Mm. Apart from that, it gives you a whole lot of a program. Exactly at your disposal, in your hands.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Work the whole 7 days for 7 months.
No, you work every day. It's an everyday job, but you take your rest time. So, for example, from lunchtime at 12 o'clock. Until 3 o'clock, you have a break. You have your own free time where you can go and eat, you can go to the gym, you can go and read a book, or you can go around guest area and sit in the lounge, chat with guests, have coffee with guests, things like that. And this is my schedule personally that I'll go.